Welcome to our ninth SPG podcast of the academic year. Good morning, it's Dr. Cassily here. I hope you're keeping well. We're here in our dress-down attire to raise funds for the Jamaica Hurricane Support following Storm Melissa, and we will keep you updated as to how much money we have raised. We're also delighted to be presented with the Unity Trust Bank Wise Up Certificate for completing the Unity Trust Programme for 25-26. It's been a wonderful experience to develop financial awareness and for our Year 12s to have had brilliant experience of working with members of the superb Unity Trust Bank team. And so on to pupil success. Great congratulations to Poppy in 9P, who has achieved her black belt in Taekwondo after 4 years training with Withall Taekwondo Club. She's worked incredibly hard. And to attain her prized black belt, Poppy has had to perform 3 patterns in front of the masters and grandmaster, demonstrate breaking techniques, to do sparring, learn the career terminology for 30 moves, and write a thesis. Isn't this such a great achievement? And Poppy is such a gracious and refined young lady, but with a black belt in Taekwondo, nobody is going to mess with her. This has been our Power for Good week, and congratulations to the pupils nominated for the Kindness Cupcakes for their kindness, thoughtfulness, and care to our whole school community. I'm afraid if you ask your daughter, the evidence of the cupcake may have already gone, but I'm sure she can tell you all about it. Congratulations to Tenny in 10A on winning the weekend quiz on Remembrance Sunday. She showed great research skills and superb knowledge and understanding of Armistice Day. Congratulations to the cadets who were nominated for the highly prestigious annual Armistice Day prizes. So from Main Flight A, congratulations to Cadet Laraga in 10S. From Main Flight B, congratulations to Cadet Borsos in 10U. And from Main Flight C, congratulations to Cadet Masupapor in 11S. And from the RTF, congratulations to Cadet Crow in 8U. Congratulations also to Sergeant Lee from 12U, to Sergeant Sevchek from 13L, to Sergeant Kaur from 12U, to Corporal Bowers from 12L, and to Lance Corporal Battersby in 11T. Congratulations and very well done. Well done also to Liv in 7T, who was chosen to take part in the Remembrance Parade and Service in Halesowen, representing St. John the Baptist Church and First Howley Grange Guides. Congratulations to Alicia in 9P on having the opportunity to meet with the Nobel Prize winner Malala. Alicia is now going to share her insights with us.
Good morning, my name is Alicia. I was privileged to meet Malala Yousafzai recently at a book signing in Birmingham. In 2012, Malala was a 15-year-old schoolgirl who was shot in the head on her school bus in front of her friends in Pakistan. Her village had, at that time, been taken over by a new strict government called the Taliban. Malala was targeted by the Taliban for her activism against the Taliban's ban on girls' education. Her father ran a school. Her parents were kind and smart and believed that all children should go to school. Malala was always encouraged to study. At age 11, Malala began to write a blog anonymously for the BBC about life under the Taliban and her desire for girls to have an education. Unfortunately, her identity was revealed when she spoke out about the fact that all girls should have the right to go to school. Brave and courageous Malala was critically injured in the shooting, but miraculously survived the assassination attempt, and she was airlifted to a hospital in Birmingham, where she was safe, where she had her surgeries, where she recovered, and where she continued going to school. Malala is ever thankful for the big welcome and love Birmingham gave her, and her parents still live here. On Malala's 16th birthday, she addressed the United Nations calling for equal access to education for all children. In 2014, aged 17, Malala became the youngest ever recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Malala went on to study philosophy, politics and economics at the University of Oxford. Today, Malala is now 27 and is a leading global activist for girls' education. Malala lives under constant risk of attack and she has to have security with her at all times. She is such a worthy Nobel Peace Prize Award winner. Sometimes, we forget how lucky and privileged we are to attend this fantastic school where all the staff are so ambitious for all of the girls. I have given Malala a letter and invited her to visit our school. She's a true inspiration to women and girls and she would be so very welcome. Meeting Malala was a very wonderful experience. She was so humble and gracious. I felt like I was in the presence of someone very special indeed. She told me it was so nice to meet me, yet I had come to meet her. She asked how I was and was genuinely interested. Malala wrote a very special message in her book to me that said, "Believe in yourself." These words will echo for all girls in our school and is such an important message. The words "believe in yourself," of course, fits perfectly with our school motto, "I'm a St. Paul's girl and there is nothing I cannot achieve."
Thank you so much to Alicia, a future Nobel Prize winner in the making. We're so proud of you, Alyssa, and of your gracious and fine leadership. And thank you for sharing such mature and wonderful insights with us. And now on to school events. Our cadets were superb presenting a wreath at the Holy Souls altar at the end of the Requiem Mass at the Oratory on Sunday. The parishioners were effusive in their praise and so delighted to see our girls leading remembrance in the parish. One member of the parish, a former officer in the Marines no less, said the cadet marching was as good as his. Praise indeed. Thank you to the parents for allowing the girls to attend and well done to Sergeant Swescheck in 13L, Corporal Bowers in 12L, Corporal Casey in 12A, Cadet Gordon in 9T, Cadet Borsos in 10U, Cadet Ford in 10T, Cadet Owen in 9A, Cadet Nguyen in 9L, Cadet McNamara in 10S, Cadet Laraga in 10S, and Cadet Kazimierska in 10P. The cadets conducted themselves with the utmost decorum and were truly exemplary. What superb ambassadors for SPG, and thank you. On Tuesday, we had the most poignantly beautiful service of remembrance. After the last post was played, we had 2 minutes of silence, and you could have heard a pin drop throughout school. There's been a lot of negativity in the press about young people not showing empathy or sensibility for remembrance. And I can most certainly say that this was not the case with our great SPG girls. Thank you so much to Mrs. Coyle for preparing such a relevant service commemorating diversity in World War I with poetry, music, artwork and prayer. In the words of Binion, at the going down of the sun and in the morning, we have remembered them. Our Year 12 A-level physicists had an excellent day on medical physics yesterday. It was such an engaging experience in which they learned about opportunities for physics in different career pathways. They were truly exemplary and set the standard, as ever, for excellence. Very well done. This week has been identified nationally as a time for schools to reflect upon the problem that bullying can present. Girls have been reminded that such abuse can take place in the real world or in cyberspace. The campaign titled power for good, encourages us all to think about the impact our words have on others. We have the capacity to build up, encourage, and inspire others through the language we use, or one word can destroy a person's confidence, self-belief, or hope. In this week, we have all been encouraged to think about how we speak to each other. On Monday, we had a whole school assembly, and the focus was on using language to be kind to others. Girls at this time were reminded of the competition Power for Good, and have been encouraged to submit a poster or a poem on the theme with the closing date of today. On Wednesday, staff in school were asked to nominate pupils who are always polite in their interactions with staff and pupils. And yesterday, these girls were given a cupcake for kindness. We all know that eating is a necessity, but cooking is an art. And these delicious artistic creations were made by Mrs. Liddell. The cupcakes carried a relevant message, such as, I am a power for good, or kindness is contagious. Today, we will see the awarding of 3 prizes for kindness at each key stage. Pupils have also been asked to dress down to raise funds for the Jamaica Disaster Fund. Although the famous Paddington Bear said, it doesn't cost me anything to be kind, on this occasion we've asked the girls to donate £1. We've really focused on the power of language, and it is important that we acknowledge that one kind word can change someone's day. Let's all try to keep this message alive in our school and in our home. Thank you to Mrs. Canavan for all of her hard work organising such an inspirational week for us all. And so on to forthcoming events. Just a reminder for the parents of Year 8 that your online Parents' Evening is on Thursday, the 27th of November. You will be able to book appointments for Parents' Evening from Thursday the 20th of November at 6 p.m. Should you have any difficulties, please contact Mr. Kirks. On Tuesday the 25th of November, we will be having our Deep Learning Day with the Year 11 Retreat. There will be Mass for Filipino pupils and their families on Wednesday the 26th of November at noon. Parents and family members are very welcome to attend. If you are able to attend, please ask your daughter to let Alejandra know. We look forward to seeing you. Advance notice, almost wishing our lives away, on Monday the 15th of December at 1:30 p.m, our Year 12 organise a wonderful Christmas party for our OAPs. If you know anybody who would like to attend, please let them know about this event, and we would look forward to welcoming them to our school. If they could confirm attendance with Mrs. Pello so we have the correct numbers for catering, that would be great. This morning, our wonderful head girl team launched our Christmas shoebox campaign for the Trussell Trust Food Bank in Quinton. We would be very grateful if you could support your daughter in this. We are asking each form to produce at least one shoebox for a child between the ages of 3 and 10, and any help would be greatly appreciated. And now, looking forward to Christmas and to Christmas presents. I'm very grateful to Michelle in 10L and to Arviana in 10L, who are going to recommend some books for parents to buy for your daughter as potential Christmas presents. Thank you to Michelle, who is now going to share her recommendation.
Hello, so I'm Michelle, and my recommendation would be A Boy Called Christmas by Matt Haig. This book is targeted for younger years, so Year 7 and Year 8, but anyone can read it really. The story explores a magical adventure about a poor but hopeful kid named Nicholas, who sets off on a journey through snowy forests, talking animals and mysterious lands to find his dad, and maybe a bit of Christmas magic on the way. The story goes beyond magic and adventure to explore deeper messages about beliefs, kindness and hope. Through Nicola's journey, the book shows that even in difficult times, holding on to goodness and imagination can change everything. It reminds readers that the true spirit of Christmas isn't about presents, but also about generosity, courage and believing in something bigger than yourself. It's funny, heartwarming and full of wonder, like a cozy winter story that explains how Christmas might have all begun. This book is outstanding, and if you're looking for a more light-hearted Christmas read, then this is the book to go.
Thank you so much to Michelle. We can always do with a little bit of Christmas magic. And so over to Aviana on her recommendation.
Hello, my name is Aviana. I'm in 10L. I would personally like to recommend They Both Die at the End by Adam Silver as a Christmas present for your daughter if they're in year 9 and above. This beautiful novel has a truly captivating narrative following two charming protagonists with an already established end by a phone call which tells them that they're going to die that day. The entire book takes place in one day, not only focusing on the two main characters, but also several other perspectives to which Silver brilliantly ties them all together, creating a sense of humanity in its intense, raw form. The novel explores the gravity of decision-making, portraying that even a small act can make a massive impact. There are consequences to actions in daily life. I was immediately hooked right from the start to the end, with its captivating and intriguing plot, with the expertly crafted writing. The ending is evidently spoiled from the title, however it does not hinder the quality of the novel at all. Instead, it creates a sense of dread to see the protagonist's untimely deaths. Adam Silver transforms a simple dystopian concept into something so emotionally human and so beautiful. There is a lasting message to take from the book, to live every day like it's your last.
Wow, thank you to Aviana on such a profound book, which I haven't read, and I'm going to look forward to reading following your recommendation. Thank you so much to you both. And I would just like to recommend to parents, as I did at the parental information evening, the book The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Heath. I found it both a frightening and illuminating book to help us understand the impact of mobile phones in rewiring an adolescent's brain. But it also has practical strategies on how we can support our girls. So thank you again to Michelle and to Aviana.
Thank you.
And now on to the Just One Thing section, which this week is going to be led by Mr. Gupwell, as he is going to share just one thing we can do to help our girls with revision.
Hello, my name is Mr. Gupwell and I'm head of year 13. I'm on the podcast today to try and give you a practical strategy that you can use to help your daughter revise. We do a lot of work on revision in sixth form, and a lot of the skills that we work on are very transferable. So I'm hoping this will provide you with one really clear method that you can use with your daughter, whatever year she's in, which will work in almost all subjects. The three basic principles of successful revision are that firstly, it shouldn't be easy, it should be challenging. Secondly, it should involve retrieving or recalling information. And thirdly, time should be allowed between revising the same topic to allow for some of the information to be forgotten and thus more challenging to retrieve. There's a lot of science behind the view that by struggling to remember information, we improve our ability to retrieve the information in the long term. With that in mind, I'm going to explain a specific strategy based around an idea called blurting that you could do with your daughter to prepare for any exam on practically any topic. I'll break down the instructions so that you can follow it as a six-step process. Number one, ask your daughter to choose a topic within a subject. For example, if she's revising history, she could select a specific topic such as the Weimar Republic between 1918 and 1929. Take her phone off her and make sure she has no books in front of her. Just give her a blank piece of A3 paper and then one blue or black pen. Number two, set a timer for 15 minutes and tell your daughter to blurt out or retrieve as much information as she possibly can on the chosen topic. She can write it in any format she chooses, but for example, if she was writing about the Weimar Republic, she might split her page into four and write about the origins of the Republic, the challenges faced, the recovery of the Republic and the changes in society. She might equally choose to present it like a mind map or a diagram. If she looks like she's run out of things to write, don't let her off the hook. Make sure she keeps writing until the timer is up. The things that she has to think the hardest about are more likely to stick in her memory in the long term, and that's all part of the challenge that I referred to earlier. Number 3. Once the timer is up, give your daughter a different coloured pen. Set another timer of 15 minutes, but this time allow her to use her notes or her book or her revision guide and let her fill in all of the gaps on the page that she didn't know about the first time around. Once the timer goes, you will see that in a different colour on the page, she's identified all of the things she didn't know. Number 4. The next step is crucial. Your daughter should make a set of flashcards, roughly between 10 and 20, which should have a simple question on one side and an answer on the other. These flashcards should be related to the content she didn't know, which was written in the different colour. An example of a flashcard might be a question on one side which says, for example, how many women were working as doctors in Germany by 1933? And the answer on the reverse of the card might say, there were 100,000 female teachers and 3,000 female doctors. Number 5. The next step in the process is to use the flashcards. And the best way to do this is for you to ask your daughter the questions on each flashcard. If she gets it right, put it in one pile. And if she gets it wrong, tell her the answer, but put the card into another pile. Once completed, you should go through the ones she got wrong again and repeat the process until she has answered them all correctly. Number 6. The final step in the process is to come back to the flashcards on another day. This will partly depend on when her exam is, but in an ideal world, if you start this process around 5 weeks before her exam, then you could test her on the flashcard 3 days after they'd been made. Then again, you could come back to them after a week. Then you could come back to them 2 weeks later, and then finally you'd have an opportunity to look at them the night before the exam. By following this process, you should see that her knowledge improves significantly over a period of time. Once her knowledge is better, then she can start to do more analytical tasks, or she can start to answer practice exam questions, all of which will make her better prepared and perhaps most importantly, make her feel a lot less anxious about things going forward. If you would like any further clarification on this method, please feel free to send me an email and I'd really be more than happy to help you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much to Mr. Gupwell. He's very much an expert in the science of revision. And we would really encourage you to help your daughter in her revision by acting on his strategies, including blurting and the effective use of flashcards. And so we conclude with our prayer. With the chaos the rain is causing, flooding the Hagley Road, causing the traffic in Birmingham to be even worse, I thought I would end with the reflection. Everything I need to know about life, I learned from Noah's Ark. Number 1, don't miss the boat. Number 2, remember that we are all in the same boat. Number 3, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number 4, stay fit. When you're really old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Number 5, don't listen to the critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. Number 6, build your future on high ground. Number 7, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number 8, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Number 9, when you're stressed, float a while. Number 10, remember, the Ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. And number 11, no matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow in waiting. So let's take a moment to bring to God any worries or anxieties that may be creating a storm in our mind, to let God's peace reign in our hearts and minds. We pray for our great girls, that they may ever be inspired with a spirit of optimism, to look beyond the rain, to find rainbows of hope in their lives. We entrust ourselves and all those dear to us to Our Lady, Star of the Sea. St. Bernard of Clairvaux wrote, "If you are driven upon the rocks of tribulation, look to the star, call on Mary. If you are tossed upon the waves of envy, of rivalry, of anxiety, and of upset, look to the star, call on Mary." And so we pray, Our Lady, Star of the Sea, pray for us. I hope you have a great weekend, and thank you for all of your support. We know that as a school, we are so blessed by our parents and families, and in our great girls who embody, "I am a St. Paul's girl, and there is nothing I cannot achieve."